title of this message is Finding Fruit in Unfamiliar Places. I'm going to start reading for verse 45. Joseph has went for the rejection of his brothers to prison places, been forgotten about, been isolated, been lonely, rejected for his family, forgotten about for his friends. Suddenly, he's in power. And he had a strategy, and now he's given the authority, a God-given strategy, to provide grain in Egypt during a time of famine, to create storehouses to take the grain in during another time of plenty. So during a time of famine, the famine, the storehouses would then be distribution centers. Reading for verse 45 of chapter 41. Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paaneah. That means God speaks and he gives life. What a new name. He wasn't to be known as his prison years or the years he got hurt and rejected. He was given a new name out of the land of Egypt, Zaphnath-Paaneah. God speaks and gives life. So as he paraded through the hill nation of Egypt, strategizing, building barns, every time somebody shouted out this name and seen Joseph, Zaphnath-Paaneah, it was a reminder, God speaks, and he spoke through Joseph, and he gives life. And we've seen this fulfilled in Joseph's life, because he was to give life and become a distribution center in a time of famine. It's good to take on a new name in your life. Need to be known of the name or your prison years or your lonely years or your hurt years or the years you was downtrodden and burdened and in bondage. It's time to take on a new name. God speaks. And when he speaks, he gives life. This was his new name. He also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. When Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields and the cities. He piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashores. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. Some would say blessed beyond measure. So there was a time that he could take so much grain and they was counting, okay, that's 1 kilo, that's 10 kilos, 20 kilos, 30 kilos, 40 kilos. That's a ton, that's 10 ton, that's 20 ton in that storehouse. But it got so much in the time of plenty that they couldn't even keep a record because he was blessed beyond measure. If I says to you, are you blessed? Are you blessed beyond measure? How would you respond? Do you feel blessed beyond measure? Now, some people will look at their lives and they think, well, they're blessed. Why are they blessed? Because they've got the nice stuff in life. There's nothing wrong with that. That could be our miserable stuff. You could hear the 100 grand house. Well, that's miserable. A 10 grand car, which is miserable. A man can hear £1,000 worth of clothes in his wardrobe. Wifey's would say that on shoes. It's miserable. It's a miserable wealth. But scripture records that Joseph brought something that he was blessed beyond measure. So much that they couldn't count it no more. They couldn't measure it. It went off the scale blessed. I did a little bit of studying. The queen. Now, God save the queen. Believe she's saved, right? But guess how much she's worth? £500 million. We had our face on it. Estimated worth. Now, to count her wealth would take a lot longer than to count my wealth. But it's still miserable. It could still be traced back to Fitchie owns and Fitchie's got in the bank and how much land she has. It's still very much miserable. But that, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, is a drop in the ocean to fit the richest guy in the world is worth. Does anybody want to hazard a guess at his name, Matthew Runcie? He's pretty good at general knowledge questions. Yes, John, Jeff Bezos. Anybody heard of him? You use his company probably almost every day. Yes, the founder and creator of Amazon, the jungle of all things that we buy. His worth is an estimated $170 billion. You could buy a nation for that. 170, how much money does one person actually need in this life? But it's miserable. It's miserable. They're miserable. Quite good, actually. We could do a lot if that was deposited into the building fund. But he still has miserable wealth. A miserable wealth that can be traced back to probably your pockets and my pocket. It's all traceable. There is an accountant we stuff recorded. Incomings, outgoings, tax coming in, tax going out. It's miserable. And Jesus says, "What does it gain if a man gains the whole world, but yet forfeits his soul?" You could gain everything, and you will die like the rest of us. That's a fact. You can't take a dime with you. I remember growing up in Walt Disney when he passed away and they froze him. He's still frozen, I believe. He'd had this wealth, all this money, all this influence, but it could do nothing to stand against the thing, or one day he will die. And so they got engineered a situation for he is permanently frozen after death in the hope that we will discover how to take people back to life. And if that day comes, he will get back to life. And we can, that's not working. Like his soul has gone. Like Abdi's in a race to get this influence, to get this money, to get this wealth. But we can. That true wealth is not found in stuff. It's found in Jesus. Why? Because he offers something that will go beyond the grave. Everything else is temporary. You could have 50 sports cars. It's all temporary. If you've got that, enjoy it while you can. But the most important thing is the destiny of your soul in Jesus Christ. You could be poor and a beggar on the streets, but if you have the only thing that you have is Jesus, you have something that is off the scales, immeasurably wealthy. You can't measure Jesus' wealth in your life. It is eternal and it is infinite. So if you're a Christian, you should consider yourself, I'm immeasurably blessed. Not because I've got stuff, but because I've got Jesus. And I like some stuff. Stuff makes this life more comfortable. But I'm not miserably... I'm really struggling to say that word. I'm not miserably blessed because of stuff. I'm miserably blessed because we have Jesus. And if you didn't hate Jesus, you might hate everything, but you're bankrupt spiritually. But as soon as you've got Jesus, blessed beyond measure. What else could you want than the darling of heaven crucified? What else could you want than to know you are destined to live for eternity, not just lengthwise, but breadthwise? An infinite love, an infinite wedding banquet, an infinite feast, an infinite place of joy, or love, or liberty, freedom, everything of pain and anxiety that you have experienced on this earth, every trial, every tear you have shed will be stored in a bottle with your name on it, for you will shed tears no more. I'm blessed, and scales can't wait. Your bank manager can't describe it, but we can, that is real. We can feel it when we come together, that we are blessed first in the Beloved. Seek him and all his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. The cares of life, he's got to take care of them for you. Don't worry or go chasing them things. Be chasers of Jesus, and you will realize your wealth is off the scale. And the creator of Amazon, he's got nothing on you. Hallelujah. Didn't I send this podcast to him? I don't want him to stop my account. I want him to freeze my account. It's truth though, isn't it? There's no 1 ounce of poverty in the kingdom. I'm not saying you can't be saved and go through poverty and poor times, but as soon as you are saved, you are so rich beyond belief in Jesus Christ. I am coming and living in you and through you to reach other people. Joseph recognized that he had a plan, and he put so blessed that it was off the scale. Verse 50, during this time, before the first of the famine years, 2 sons were born to Joseph and his wife. Joseph was a foreign man in a foreign land. He was a Hebrew, but yet he found himself in Egypt, but he named his name, the names of his kids, according to his Hebrew heritage. 2 sons were born to Joseph and his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he says, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Forgetting the past. A time of blessing, a time that he felt immeasurably blessed to give birth to a son. He named him Manasseh, and he says, God has allowed me to forget all the pains and hurts of the past in my father's family. Now that sounds really easy. Let's just forget it. He wasn't saying it's been blocked from my memory. Fuck ends, you can't just block things with your memory. Like, it actually happened. He didn't name him Manasseh and was going to shout, Manasseh! God's allowed me to forget all the failures and hurts of the past, but I really can't mind for they were, and I have no idea why I called you such a silly name. He could actually remember what happened to him. He remembered the misuse for his brothers. He remembered the pit places in the prison, the lonely places. What he is saying is that my history doesn't need to determine my future. And although I've been hurt in the past, that doesn't mean I'm going to be a bad dad. It was interesting, he's saying, I'm so blessed I'm able to forget the past and how my family treated me at a time that he gave birth to something new and it's something fresh. And this might affect a few people, it might affect nobody. But I want to tell you, your past hurts in your family, it doesn't need to repeat itself. Like if your parents forgot about you, it didn't mean that you need to forget about your kids. And we see it. We work with kids at Powerhouse, and it's a shame. Praise God, some people get out the cycle. But some is stuck in that cycle. The parents were abandoned, the parents were alcoholics, and they get stuck in that cycle, and then the people in the bus stop at certain areas, or the Brock, their kids are on a bus stop, and then there you see them growing up, and it's their kids on a bus stop, and the dads and moms turn into alcohol. You've seen a cycle. This makes sense, doesn't it? That's how they can. It's hurt, and it's pain, it's rejection, and it's a cycle that goes on, and it's generational. And we could say it's spiritual, but really it's just a natural process as well. That's how they see is hurt and pain. And growing up, they probably said, I am never being like my dad, I'm never being like my mom, she's a loser, he's a loser, I'm going to get a good job. But then the cycle just, that's how they came. And Joseph gives birth to Manasseh and says, look, I'm forgetting the dysfunction of my family, I'm going to be a good dad. I'll be there for my kids. What I tell you, God could bless you so much and miserably more that the hurts of the past doesn't need to follow you into the future. That you need to ken that today is a new day, and that when you became a child of the living God, it says that all things are gone. All the old things are gone, and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. As Jesus burst out that tomb after the third day, it says a new day has dawned. People, you need to believe that a new day has dawned upon your life. That you can forget all the anxieties and hurts of the past. And God can birth something new and fresh through you. And the blessing that you have will eclipse all the hurts of the past. Joseph could still remember, but he says, I'm allowed to forget. God has allowed me to forget all the hurts and anxieties of the past. I'm giving birth to something new. Paul put it this way. One thing I do is forgetting what has gone before me, and I press on to that which Christ Jesus has held on to me for. Jesus said this. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy for the kingdom of God. There's something about being a Christian in the kingdom of God that realizes we're so blessed in the hurts of the past. Haven't they got the power to pull us back, but we go on and we move on. The first name was Manasseh. And then verse 52, it says this, Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he says, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Finding fruit in unfamiliar places. Ephraim. He has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. We pray for affliction to go, don't we? In Jesus' name, our affliction go, our hurt, our pain go. But yet Joseph says he has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction, in the land of my grief. God, could I remove them from Egypt? He could have stopped them from going to prison. He could have sent angels when he got rejected, but he went through that process. And now he's gone about Egypt. And he's riding on a chariot. His hair's blowing in the wind. He's got strategy. He's got authority. He feels blessed beyond measure. And says, God has allowed me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He found fruit in an unfamiliar place. Sometimes God will remove you from situations. He will deliver you from that disease. He will deliver you from that hurt and that pain. Oh, but sometimes he lets you go through affliction. And you can find fruit in your affliction. Going through that struggles, going through that pain. That you can find fruit in unlikely places. that the whole world could be coming against you and people could be declaring over your life, there's no way they should be finding fruit in Egypt. He's a Hebrew slave. How can he be used by God? He's for a dysfunctional family. His brothers didn't even like him. And God took him through all this and raised him to prominence. And Joseph says, I have found fruit in the land of my affliction, in the land of my pain, in the land of my hurt. I have found fruit. People, what are we going through in our lives? What struggles are we going through that people would write us off and you'd maybe write yourself off? But that is the very same place that God will raise you up and be a voice and give you the fruit of courage. Give you the fruit of joy in the midst of grief. Be a beacon for hope in the midst of darkness. Feed people in the midst of famine. Not because God removed you from your affliction, but because God caused you to be fruitful in the land of your pain, in the land of your affliction. I would love to be problem free. Would you? Just waking up one morning and every problem would go. Wouldn't have another problem. I'm a there's got to be a solution kind of guy. If there's a problem, there's got to be a solution. But then you find a solution to that problem and up springs up another problem. It's a cycle of life. Far out in the midst of your darkest days, God was going to cause you to be fruitful. Story upon story, we hear our people going to hospitals, appointments, because of an affliction, and then testifying to people of the goodness of God. And if there was no affliction, you certainly wouldn't be in a hospital, would you? But God can cause you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. And you're maybe gone through grief and sorrow and sadness, but God would allow you to be a voice to others that are gone through grief and sadness in the land of your affliction. God can cause you to be fruitful. Why does he do that? Because when we're fruitful, when everything's going smoothly and we're problem-free, a problem-free society, we could get some of the credit, I guess. I want to tell you, when you are fruitful in the land of your affliction, people will look upon you and say, God speaks, and he brings life. Because only God can do that. When you are fruitful in a desert land, when Abadi and everything comes against you and says there's no way for fruit to grow there, that's a desert place, that's a drought place, that's a famine place. They should be downcast, they should be downtrodden. But when God puts a spur of fruitfulness upon you and you're able to smile in the midst of the storm and have joy in the midst of chaos and have hope when nothing else seems hopeless. When you are fruitful in the midst of your affliction, people look at you. God speaks and he brings life. And God gets the glory. Only God could do that. Only God can restore their marriage. Only God could restore their kids. Only God could allow them to carry this illumination of light and love and be a beacon of hope. The Apostle Paul says this three times. He felt an affliction and he asked God to remove the affliction. And he said the only response he got back from God was, I'm letting you keep it. That's a great answer to prayer, isn't it? God, I'm afflicted. God, I'm afflicted. God, I'm afflicted. The answer for heaven, I'm letting you keep it. Because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And your affliction is a sign of your humanity. God's power is on you as a sign of his goodness. And if we was to go around marking on as though we are perfect and have no problems as Christians, we'd come out of sync of far we are and we'd be unrelatable. But to be honest and say, I'm an afflicted one, but God has given me fruit in the land of my affliction. I still have problems, but God has given me fruit beyond measure in the land of my problems. I still had disagreements and things I would rather live without. The list would go on of the things I'd rather live without. But in the land of my affliction, I am blessed beyond measure. And some of us need to grasp what it is to be a Christian that lives through this life, that God will bless you in the land of your affliction, and you're looking for fruit in the wrong places. And realize even in a desert moment when things aren't gone your way, hope can spring forth. He's promised us streams in the desert places. In the land of our affliction, we can find fruit. Maybe the broch is the land of your affliction. I don't want to bide here no more. You can bide anywhere in the world. It might change after the EU and all that, but I'm not getting into that. You choose to bide here. And for some of you walking down the streets, you just see it as the land of your affliction, bad memories, broken down relationships, things that you didn't, that you wish you didn't. If I was believing for fruit in the land of our affliction, if I was believing for fruit in the land of our affliction, that we can find fruit for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the northeast of Scotland, where there's lots of bad memories. But God could raise a church up to be blessed beyond measure by a people who is confident, nay, in the voting system, but confident of far they are in Jesus Christ, far seasoned and are aware of the problems of society, but will believe for a day that we can be blessed in this land. That I could go somewhere else for revival is easier. I could join up with only revival on the face of the planet. But we choose to come here. We could go to China and be part of the biggest move of God that is seen in underground churches. We could link up with there. And we could be part of it there, dear. I could move to Canada and be part of the Toronto Blessing. I could move to California and be part of Bethel. Not as a preacher, but as a member of the congregation, we can go. But yet, we are choosing to stand firm here, to believe for a move of God here, in the land of our affliction, for we'll witness the pain, we see the suffering, but we're believing that Jesus wants to bless us beyond measure and raise a church up to feed people in famine during times of spiritual famine. He was just a Hebrew slave. He had went through a prison. He was lonely. He was destitute. He didn't attend the culture, but that's where he was at. God had caused them to be fruitful in the land of his affliction. Do you think Jesus would do less for his church than he D for Joseph. Oh, the church. Just people think we're just religious. God, can I do nothing through the church in 2019? Irrelevant. But yet we can be fruitful in the place of our affliction. Let's pray and believe for a day that we would see fruit for the kingdom of God and the land of our affliction. And I'm praying as you go through your daily lives that you will start picking out fruit. Father, shouldn't have been there fruit. That you will start seeing hope. Father, shouldn't have been there hope. That you will start seeing purpose. I really shouldn't have been there purpose. You will see purpose in your pain, and it'll be fruit. You will see purpose in your grief, and you could have given up through your grief and in that prison moment, but God's going to cause you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. You've just got to see it from a different perspective. Let's pray and invite the worship team up. My prayer for this, for the church, is really you would see hope and see fruit in unfamiliar places. It's easy to go to some Christian conferences and sense hope. You could download a book on hope. The Jeff Bezos webpage. And I'd be shocked if you didn't find hope in a book called Hope. You could listen to some of the best speakers on the planet. You just Google hope sermon. And you will find hope in that places. Sure. But Joseph found hope in an unfamiliar place. He found fruit in his affliction. And some of you are gone through the most terrible trials. And you're thinking this, if I didn't hear that trial, then I would have hope. But God would say, you can find hope in the midst of that trial. And you can be blessed beyond measure in the midst of that land. And your affliction can lead you to Jesus. And if you had never been afflicted, you would never have known Jesus. Because if you had experienced a problem-free society, you would never have looked for a helper. And if you was always well with my soul before you met Jesus, you might never have looked for a healer. And if you'd already felt found and had it all together, you wouldn't have searched for the Savior that's been looking for you. Let your affliction lead you to Jesus Christ, and you will be fruitful in the land of your affliction. And we can still pray that your situation can turn around. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Jesus. I'm just going to ask if anybody wants to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is very simple. This is you making a decision, a first decision, that you have been afflicted, but you want to see hope in your affliction. His name is Jesus. The greatest gift the world has ever been given is Jesus Christ. Everything else is miserable. Jesus is a miserable. And if you want Jesus in your life and to become a Christian, simply going to ask as nobody is looking, just to pop your hand and I will see you. And we'll lead you in a simple prayer. The simple prayer is to find Jesus in the midst of everything. And if you want to become a Christian, just put up your hand. We're not going to delay this. This is giving people an opportunity. We have spoke about Jesus. We've invited you to Jesus. We can speak about hope. We can speak about presence. I see that hand in the middle. Thank you. Maybe all your affliction has just led you to want Jesus. And that pain is worth it. That pain is worth it. I would change a lot about my youth years. The shame that I caused, the trouble that I caused, the money that I stole. Yet there's something I wouldn't have changed about it. The only thing I wouldn't have changed about it was because of that, I became a Christian. And if I wasn't that before, I have no idea how I would become a Christian. I was in the land of my affliction. I became fruitful. I've had one response. I'm going to leave this for 20 more seconds. If you want to become a Christian, follow Jesus. I see that hand at the back. Thank you. Jesus. Just let the Holy Spirit wash over you. He is the revealer of the Messiah. We are just messengers. Jesus. Okay, we're going to pray for his card, the sinner's prayer. Simply a prayer that starts the journey to a fruitful relationship with Jesus Christ. And specifically for them that put up their hands, I'm going to ask you to pray it, but to encourage them. I'm going to pray a simple prayer as a congregation and just repeat after me. It says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. So confession and believing work hand in hand is a starting point to be followers of Christ. Just repeat this prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your affliction, the cross. Thank you, Jesus, we find fruit in your affliction, which is salvation. I come before you as a sinner in need of salvation. Forgive me of my sin. Cover me in the blood of Jesus. Help me, Father, to live a life that follows Christ. In the midst of pain, in the midst of trials, in the midst of triumphs, help me to give glory to Jesus always. Fill me of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.